Hope you have a great weekend. You are plugged into Long Island this morning along the Cox Media Group Long Island Radio Network. This morning in the studio with us, Yolanda Rabano-Gross, the Executive Director of Options for Community Living, and also Denise Waterhouse, the Development Director at the Options for Community Living. Thanks for coming in, ladies. I know it's early here on a Sunday morning, but great organization. You're going to tell us all about the agency and everything else that you guys do there. We're going to do that over the next half hour, so thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.
So let's start from the beginning. Options for Community Living. You're here on Long Island. You've been around for a while. Give us all the good stuff. Tell us the history, what you guys do, and what you hope to accomplish in the future.
Sure. Thanks for having us. Options for Community Living opened up in 1982, and it was really established to meet a need out here on Long Island. We serve individuals, some of Long Island's neediest individuals and families, people with chronic mental and physical illnesses, including HIV/AIDS, through housing programs, care coordination, case management, financial assistance. We cover as far west as Valley Stream, Floral Park, Limbrook, all the way out east to the Riverhead area and everything in between.
So basically all of Nassau, all of Suffolk, you guys are...
Yeah.
You've got it covered.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, do me a favor. Just pull the mics a little bit closer to you. Don't be afraid there. It's we want you to be able to be heard and get all the good information out there. So tell us a little bit about how you guys have developed and evolved over the years. And you guys provide Medicaid assistance or case management?
Case management.
Case management.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
It's we serve people with mental illness through supportive housing. We have community residences and other supportive housing for people who need assistance to maintain their independence in the community. The services are funded through contracts with the New York State Office of Mental Health, and we help people live with dignity in the community through that program. We also work with people who have chronic health problems and illnesses, and they receive case management services. We call that care coordination, and we help link them to doctors and other support services so that they can improve their health and get all of the services sort of wrapped around to help them be a little bit more independent again and, again, improve their health.
And you provide services to adults and now also to children.
Also to children, yeah. The whole basis behind care coordination is exactly that. If you can coordinate all aspects of someone's care, the goal and the hope is that they'll live a healthier lifestyle. If they're seeing their doctors regularly, if their benefits are turned on, if they have sufficient food and housing and clothing and everything else needed, that will keep them healthier and result in less emergency room visits, less sickness.
And how are you guys funded?
Contracts through New York State are with the Office of Mental Health, through the Office of Temporary and Disability Assistance. Some of our housing programs have support through HUD and the Continuum of Care. And then Medicaid, of course, and fees as well, and some private fundraising and grants.
Plugged into Long Island this morning, talking with the ladies from the Options for Community Living here on Long Island. Over the years, the stigma attached to people with HIV and AIDS, I think, has gotten a little bit better. Things have, gotten better with treatments as well for people living with HIV and with AIDS over the years. Talk about more of the struggles that people that are suffering from mental illness or from a disease go through on a day-to-day basis.
It has gotten a little bit better, the stigma. Unfortunately, we still see it on a daily basis. We happen to work primarily with two populations that are pretty well stigmatized, between the mental health population and the HIV population. We are trying to stop that and trying to get to the point. Look, no one wants to be sick at all. No one asks for any kind of an illness, certainly. It needs to get to the point where these illnesses are the same as saying, I'm diabetic or I have high blood pressure. It doesn't define the person. It's part of who they are, and it is what it is, and people live with it, and, some better than others, like the rest of us, but live with it beautifully.
Right.
We have people that that are employed, that are in school, that are part of the community that, you know, you'd never realize that there was a diagnosis. I think if anything can get out to the general population, it's that. People just want to be part of the community.
Right. And take us through the process now for somebody that's maybe listening right now, struggling, suffering from mental illness or from HIV or from AIDS or from any other disease. What's the process? How do they get involved with you guys? And take us through the steps, maybe somebody that's in need of help right now. How would they go about getting the assistance from Options for Community Living?
The best way would be to speak to our intake office. So Christine Faffey is our intake supervisor, and I'll throw out her number. It's 631-361-9020. She's our go-to person for the mental health side. Diana Schwank, it's the same number, it's our main office, is the go-to person for intake on our HIV/care coordination side. These ladies can set people up with making sure that they have all the right paperwork. On the mental health side, there's a single point of access, which is through the mental health system. Those papers need to be filed. There's a process through that. On the other side, there is a process through the continuum of care. So, but if they have someone to guide them through, I find that these systems can be, they're much better than they were, but they can be a little muddied and a little difficult to navigate on your own.
Right,
so if
right.
they touch base with one of our people, it'll be helpful.
And if you're sick, sometimes you feel overwhelmed by
all
the paperwork and all of the what seems like a bureaucracy and sometimes isn't, slows things down.
Right, right.
So it's important to have assistance. And, you know, we have very qualified people that can help.
And a website people can check out right now?
Optionscl.org.
Okay, optionscl.org.
Correct.
And obviously, people that are struggling or sick and in need, they need various services.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Various ways to be helped out. Talk a little bit more about the needs of the population that you guys try and assist with.
Well, you know, a lot of our people are eligible for financial benefits. So, you know, our care coordinators will help people if they need assistance filling out applications for SSI, if they need food stamps, you know, anything really that you can apply for through social services. And as I said, the paperwork can be overwhelming, and it's important to have somebody help you.
And we have a financial assistance program also where if the individuals meet the criteria, they can get help with first month, last month rent, you know, those kind of things.
Moving expenses,
right.
Security deposit, you know, a broker fee. So those are some other things that are available.
I mean, we have, I don't think a lot of people, and I'm born and raised South Shore, Nassau County, and didn't realize the amount of homeless population we have out here on Long Island.
Right.
People tend to think of Manhattan or, you know, because it's much more visible.
Right. A lot of the homeless on Long Island, veterans, too, that have returned from service.
We have our share of veterans. We also have a lot of families,
mm-hmm.
Either homeless or in the shelter program or what we call inappropriately housed, you know, borrowing a friend's couch, doing what they can. The Long Island Coalition for the Homeless, we work with them. They've done a fabulous job at combating this, but it's still out there. And quite often it's hard for people, even if they can gather enough for a rent on a day-to-day basis, to gather first month, last month's real estate, you know, turn all the utilities on. That's a big nut together when you're just trying to keep your head above.
And especially here on Long Island where it's one of the most expensive places to live.
Absolutely.
You know, just looking at some of the numbers that you guys have, I mean, the 2018 fair market rent for a two-bedroom apartment, about $1,878 monthly.
Right. Yeah.
And hard to find.
And the home prices right now are surging all over, you know, especially on Long Island. The market is way up. And the inventory is way down, which is another interesting side note.
Yeah. The younger professionals now, I think they are taking more of the rentals. So, they, you know, we have like between 3% and 4%, you know, of vacancy rate on Long Island, and you know, and that's with those high rents. So, what someone who's earning has an income on disability of like just over $850. How can they each month? How can they afford a rent of, you know, $1,900?
Yeah.
That's not possible.
Yeah.
And our inventory is way down. We're still feeling the effects of Hurricane Sandy.
I was going to ask you, are a lot of people affected by the storms?
People were still without homes. People went to rent instead of back into their home. I mean, I have friends in Long Beach and Atlantic Beach that are still with family and displaced because their homes still aren't rebuilt from then.
Right, right. So, now, I know it's wild, and it'll be 6 years.
Right.
Yeah. Which is incredible. Yeah. And it doesn't get talked about as much. Now, a lot of people have moved on. Obviously, it's not a narrative in the news anymore until the next storm comes.
Exactly. And it's still there.
Right.
Definitely. People are still hit hard from it.
Yeah. Plugged into Long Island this morning, the ladies from Options for Community Living with us this morning. Yolanda Rabana-Gross, the executive director, and Denise Waterhouse, the development director at Options for Community Living. Now, the organization has been around since 1982. How long have you ladies been involved, and how did you get to the point where we are now?
I'm definitely out of the executive team. I am the newest member. I came, it'll be 4 years in October.
Okay.
So I came October of 2014. The founder and previous executive director had been there for 32 years.
Wow.
And she was retiring. So the board of directors put a search out to find a new executive director.
And that's how you got him. Now, had you always done this line of work before? Or?
Always, always. My background is in social work and healthcare administration. So I'd always done this kind of work, always, forever, and had worked my way through different positions. And I was a vice president level at a previous agency in Manhattan. So this came up. It was an opportunity to come into an executive director position and move back out onto Long Island.
Right.
So I'm here.
Do you find it rewarding? Do you find it challenging? Or do you think it's draining at times?
All the above.
trying to help all these people. I'd imagine it's rewarding when you see that you can actually affect people's lives for the good, but also very draining when you see what they're going through.
It's you couldn't have said it better. It's so rewarding, you know, to get those phone calls from clients or from family members to say, you know, thank you, you did this. I have a gentleman, he's 32, and he lives with us, and he's lived with us for a while. And he called the other morning, and he said to me, I'm just calling to say hello. And I said, well, what's the matter? And he said, no, I figure that nobody calls you just to say hello.
That's
so
great.
I'm really just calling to say hello.
That's great,
So to make that kind of connection with people is fantastic.
And it's great to know that they're in a position now where they have time to burn a few minutes to actually just be able to sit
hello.
Down and talk, to just shoot the breeze.
Is it draining? Sure. I have 1,600 clients and 200 staffs, lives at my fingertips every day. And so I sleep with the phone by my head, and it's a 24/7 operation because we have residential programs. So, you know, there's always a pipe bursting or something exciting happening. So is it draining? Yeah, but it's worth it. This is not a field you can be lukewarm about.
Right.
You're in or you're out.
Right. It's kind of like radio.
It is, exactly.
Because you're not going to make any money doing this, so you better love it.
Exactly. Right? And you know what? It's not rocket science. People want to be heard and listened to. And, you know, if it was my mom or my daughter or my siblings or my whoever, what kind of care would I want them to get? And if you keep that in mind every day, you really can't do wrong.
Right, right. No, it's a great point. Denise, how about you? How long have you been with the organization? How'd you get involved?
I've been with Options for more than 20 years. I started out in human resources when the agency was much smaller, and I did a little bit of grant writing while I was in human resources. I took a little time off, and then I returned to the agency in the capacity that I am now, which is development. So I write grants, and I do some fundraising events, and, you know, try to raise as much money as I can.
Right. And let's talk about that a little bit. You guys just had a big event. You have another big one coming up at the end. I don't want to look too far ahead of the summer. I don't want to rush this summer. But at the end of the summer, you do something big. And obviously, this is another big way that you guys raise money for the organization. Tell us about some of the events that you guys do.
Well, in the past, we've done small events like paint night and comedy night through Governors, which was fun.
And the paint nights are big now. Everybody's
paint
doing
nights are big.
Paint nights and escape rooms. Yeah, that's another big one.
Yeah, right? Maybe we'll try that too.
Yeah.
But we also just had a psychic night at Zona's in Massapequa, and that was a great success as well. And in the fall, we are going to be teaming up with the McCarthy Foundation for our first golf outing. And that is on the 17th of September.
Okay, great. So hopefully,
we'll
good
pray
weather.
For good weather, yes.
Yeah, this past September, the past few Septembers have been great weather.
Yeah.
Better weather than May and June.
Yeah. Yes.
In September. So hopefully that'll happen. So that comes up in September. People want to make donations. Are there other ways that you guys raise money? If somebody
absolutely.
Wants to, you know.
You can donate online on the website. You can call my office. Again, the number at the office is 631-361-9020. You can just ask for the development department, and they'll connect you with us. If anyone wants to donate items, because we will be doing a raffle at the golf outing, please give us a call.
Excellent. No, plugged into Long Island this morning, talking with the ladies from Options for Community Living. And go ahead, Yolanda, I'm sorry.
We run a thrift shop also in
Monconkma, okay.
And it's amazing. So it's a working thrift shop, so it's a business. We have community volunteers that are just, you know, retirees looking to volunteer. We have a staff person that runs it. And then we have client volunteers. It works as a pre-vocational type program.
Okay,
we
cool.
We accept all sorts of donations.
I was going to say, so, is it all new stuff, or is it kind of like a tag sale?
It's genuinely like a thrift shop. I've never had cleaner closets than when I've been working here, because I'm
always
packing a box over.
My father-in-law goes to all tag sales on the weekend and buys all sorts of stuff. I'll have to send them out to you guys, sure.
That's amazing. We also have a greenhouse program in Medford where clients work, and we grow and sell plants and craft items. It's a pretty cool experience,
though. Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk also a little bit more about how important partnerships are, you know, with people on Long Island, with other organizations. You want to talk a little bit more about that? And who have been some of the big partners that you guys have teamed up with over the years?
It's very important, especially in this day and age of managed care, and being able to show how many lives you serve and how much geography you serve and what kind of services you offer. We belong to a group of other agencies called the Advanced Health Network. So there are a group of us who serve similar populations, but we can back and forth say, okay, well, you know, I don't do this. Can I refer them to you? Or, you know, do you have a residential vacancy and we have someone to refer to you? So that's been fantastic.
Right.
It's all Long Island-based agencies, so that works.
And referrals are so big, right?
Exactly. We do what we do beautifully, but we don't do everything. And
right.
same with our sister agencies. So we all know who the key person is to which specific area, which has been great. It only serves the community better.
Right.
We also work very closely with the Long Island Coalition for the Homeless. We actually have offices in their building in Amityville, so that's great. We work with Helen Keller Services for the Blind. We're housed with them over in our Hempstead office. So we're very lucky to have a lot of sister agencies that we can work back and forth with.
And looking at,
are a United Way provider affiliate as well.
Right. And looking ahead to the future, what would you like to see happen with the organization? Just continue to grow. Obviously, you know, I guess one of the big goals would be to eliminate people having the need for the services that you guys provide. But unfortunately, that's probably not going to be the case.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be a nice
idealistic. I mean, it would be nice.
Yeah, yeah. Even though you'd both be out of work.
You know what? That would be a good reason to be out of work.
Right.
Unfortunately, it's probably not going to happen
right.
Going forward. But it's nice to get new programs. We've gotten some very exciting new incentives. We're part of a pilot program through Suffolk County where we have a mobile team that can come out and give extra support to people who are in pretty independent living situations. To say someone, for argument's sake, has a new medication regimen and they're a little iffy about it, we can send our LPN out to work with them on it so that they're comfortable with it and that, you know, everything's going well and it doesn't result in another hospitalization mm-hmm. or to move to a higher level of care. They can stay in that independent level. So it's nice to be part of those kind of projects.
Right.
which just keep increasing people's independence, because that's the key. The main focus, right, on our HIV side. So we have the largest HIV housing program on Long Island. So we have 69 units of housing right now. They can either be what we call singles, which is three adults, each with their own bedroom, but then share a common area.
Right.
Or what's really nice is that we have family programs. And in residential programs in social services across the board, you don't see that very often. So in our homes, one individual has to be diagnosed on that side of the program, and their children can be there, their spouse can be there, their partners, whatever the case. So it keeps the family unit
intact. Right, keeps everybody together.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
What would you say to somebody who's listening right now that maybe is living with some issues and is struggling and going through some hard times?
I would say walk into a hospital if you need be, but certainly call one of us, call us and get the help. There's no shame in asking for help. Quite the contrary. People that ask for help are pretty strong. It takes a lot to say, you know, I need a hand with this. So come, and you know, if we're not the right people for you, we'll find you the right people. We had something right after New Year's when a family came in a little frazzled about a situation with their daughter. It wasn't a service that we provide, but we were able to pick up a phone to one of our colleagues and literally walk them down the block to the other agency, and they didn't have to sit through the whole process again. We call it a soft handoff.
Right, right.
You know, and it works.
Get them to where they need to be.
Get them without having to tell their story again and start over.
Right, right. Excellent. One more time, the website and contact information where people can get more information from you ladies.
It's optionscl.org.
Okay, optionscl.org. And contact phone number or email?
631-361-9020. That's the main office in Smithtown, but through that number you can get to Amityville or Hempstead. So if you're a Nassau County person and Hempstead is easier, it all filters through that main number.
And you also have, you guys employ about 200 people, and mm-hmm. you have openings and you'll have employment opportunities listed on the website as well.
Yes, absolutely. And you can send in your application or send in your resume through that system.
And also you're looking for volunteers, right? And there's somebody listening right now that wants to help out.
Yeah, volunteers and board members also. You know, if you're committed to healthcare or mental health or any of these things sound interesting to you and you'd like to be a member of our board, we're always looking for new members of the board of directors.
Excellent.
And the volunteer opportunities, you know, we have a nice partnership with a number of corporations on Long Island. We've had Convergent Technologies, Prologis, who else?
Target.
Target and, you know, a number of organizations do one-day volunteer projects at some of our homes. They've been, like, spruce up and planting. We had Leviton come last year and make some raised planting beds at one of our sites. You know, it's a nice opportunity for people to see what's going on in the community, what our programs are like, and do some good. Those planting beds are now, you know, getting ready to spring some
right,
new.
Finally. Yeah. Right? It's been a long winter.
And we're doing something different this year. We get a lot of benefit from these volunteer agencies. So this year we're going to turn it around and we're going to volunteer at two other agencies.
Oh, very cool.
One in Nassau and one in Suffolk to help with their needs. Because, you know, you can take the help and we are more than happy to take the help, but it's good to be able to give it back also.
Right. Right. Excellent. Well, ladies, thank you for coming in this morning. Best of luck. And September 17th is the big event with the McCarthy Foundation, right?
Yep, at the Issaquag Golf Course.
Excellent. If people want tickets, they can get them on the website as well, right?
They can give us a call. They're not on the website yet. But
okay.
Absolutely give us a call at 631-361-9020.
All right. Great. Well, anytime you want to come back and talk about the organization, feel free. And thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
Lots of luck in the future.
Yolanda Rabano-Gross, the executive director, and Denise Waterhouse, the development director for Options for Community Living, plugged into Long Island with us this morning talking about a great organization. Back in 1982 is when they were established, and they've been assisting people that have been living with HIV and AIDS in Nassau and Suffolk, and also with people dealing with mental illness, adults and children. Great organization, and my thanks for them coming in this morning to talk about all the fine work that they do. If you want more information about the organization or if you want to make a donation, you can call them at 631-361-9020. That's 631-361-9020. That's where you'll also get information about a big event that's going to be happening, a golf event in cooperation with the McCarthy Foundation that's going to be coming up at the end of the summer on September 17th. And lots of luck with that. And they've got some other great events that go on throughout the year. And my best of luck to them and wish them all much continued success as we go through the rest of 2018 and for the future. My name is Ted Linder. Thank you for being plugged into Long Island this morning along the Cox Media Group Long Island Radio Network at 102.3 WBAB, 106.1 BLI, and 95.3 WHFM in the Hamptons. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.